Hello and welcome to Mental Health Insights. This is a production of Life Care Counseling. My name is Craig Faust and I am the host. I am a licensed professional counselor. And today we are going to talk a little bit about how sex affects your mental health. Sex is something that most everyone has or will have at some point. And sex is deeply impactful to the intimate relationships that we have. So sex can be usually a fairly complex topic. So let's go ahead and start breaking it down. All right, in order to break down sex, I'm going to break it down into two components. So the first component is going to be the physical component, and the second component is going to be the emotional component. So starting out with the physical component of sex is really important because it is about our body being prepared for sex, which usually actually takes a considerable amount of time. For some people, it could even take hours for our body to actually fully prepare and be ready to engage in sex, which is something that becomes really hard because most people, whenever they engage in sex, it's really quick. And this may be for a lot of different reasons, time constraints, because kids or anything like that, that makes it difficult to actually get the appropriate amount of time for sex. And because of this, the chances are that most people that engage in sex actually don't have a super thrilling sex life. And this may be because, you know, maybe one out of three times that you have sex, you have an orgasm. So two-thirds of the time you may not, or that could be even higher. It's very typical for women to, for the majority of time, not to actually have an orgasm during sex. And again, there are all kinds of reasons, but one of the biggest reasons can be because we actually don't allow the time physically for the body to actually prepare for sex, for our blood flow to switch, and for us to actually engage in an appropriate amount of foreplay or anything like that, so that sex can actually be enjoyable to both people. The big thing about the physical component of sex is being able to recognize what's happening with our body as we are preparing and as we are engaging in sex. One of the most obvious problems that we have is whenever our body tenses during sex. Now, whenever I say tense, I mean tense in a non-enjoyable way. Whether or not it's like our body that's kind of pulling away from our partner sexually, or our body that's trying to protect itself. There's all kinds of situations where our body could tense up. It could be if we feel like we're uncomfortable with our body, or, you know, something happens and we're getting ready to have sex, then all of a sudden I start to wonder about something with work, and like my body switched, you know, my brain switched mindset, so all of a sudden my body gets turned off. There can be times where sex hasn't always been enjoyable, so that I could be a little reluctant because this could be painful, or this could be, you know, hurtful, or there could be 100,000 different reasons, right, where physically our body could be prepared for sex and then switch off. And this is something that's really important because the more in tune we are to our body, the more that we're paying attention to our body, the easier it is for us to tell if our body is ready for sex. And a lot of times people just use like their level of desire. But if we notice if our body is really tense, or maybe it's just not feeling like it's really quite there, being able to be honest and communicating with your partner can help you to have that more enjoyable sexual experience, which is something that's really important, because if you don't have an enjoyable sexual experiences, that means that you could start to develop more of like a performance anxiety around sex. So performance anxiety is one of the most common things that develops in couples and those in relationships whenever they typically don't necessarily have the most stellar sex. And this can happen with both people in the relationship. This is not excluded to a certain type of sexual orientation or gender or anything like that. This is for anyone. Anyone can get a type of sexual anxiety, a performance type of anxiety, where we start to worry, am I going to be able to perform well sex? Am I going to be able to give my partner an orgasm? So for us, understanding this physical piece is important, because if we notice that we're not quite to this place physically, or our partner is able to tell us that they're not quite to this place physically, we can actually take more time to try to physically get their body more prepared for sex, whether or not that's engaging in certain foreplay, or whether or not it's being physical, whether or not it's hand rubbing or massaging parts that may not be as sensitive or sexually stimulating, to help the body get more into the mood or get more into the space that it needs to be to have a better sexual experience. There is also the challenge that some of us have had really adverse sexual experiences in the past, whether or not it's been really painful, or whether or not we've actually been raped or molested, and our body could have a very visceral reaction to sex where it can really pull away. These are important things, because the more and more we can pay attention to our body, the more and more we can help our body have a different experience around sex. So if we notice that our body tenses up or it wants to pull away, and we're able to communicate with our partner, and the more and more we're able to communicate, the more and more they're able to like touch us and be around us in an intimate and a safe way, it helps our brain realize that this is a different experience, which can then help us get into that physical space that we need to actually enjoy sex. This is something that is so crucial, because there are so many people out there that are actually, they don't have stellar sex lives. And a lot of it starts with the physical component of this, where, you know, we can go through the act of having sex, but the act of having sex is only a part of this, right? We want to also be in that physical space where the body can be ready. Blood is flowing to the right spots, right? My body is desiring this. It's wanting to have this sexual encounter. And if I'm not, then I want to either give myself time to get there, right? Usually with my partner's help with foreplay, or the sexual encounter may not be a good idea of happening right now. And like, this can be tough, right? It could be tough telling your partner, hey, no, I'm not really into this right now. But you also want to be careful, because if you aren't true to that, then you could be setting you and your partner up for having an unpleasant sexual experience. And usually whenever we have unpleasant sexual experiences, the implications are the messages that we get in our relationship. They're not attracted to me. They don't desire me. They're rejecting me. I'm not good enough for them, right? All these different types of messages that we can get from our partner. And a lot of times we get them unintentionally, because they're wrapped up in sex, because sex is the ultimate physical and emotional showing of vulnerability to someone else. Think about this. In a physical sense, there are not very many instances where we are fully naked in front of someone else. Naked equals vulnerability in a lot of times. So we feel, usually for most of us, the most vulnerable with someone else whenever we are naked. So we want to be able to recognize whenever these different physical parts want to pull away, because let's say that I'm really upset with my spouse. That means that if I take my clothes off, I could want to cover up. I could want to pull away more. And I may not actually be able to actually engage in sex in a pleasurable way for either of us, right? If your body can't really get into it, if you can't physically get into sex, chances of you having a good sexual experience is pretty bad. Now, talking more about the mental health side of things is we want our body to get into that physical space for a couple of reasons, because we want to set our body up that whenever we have the sexual encounter, we're going to have the large amount of benefits that come from having a sexual encounter. This includes oxytocin being released, which is a bonding neurochemical that gets released that helps us to bond with the partner that we're with, that helps us feel closer, that helps us feel connected, that helps us feel cared for. This is so important in establishing healthy and strong relationships. And we want to set up the circumstances that this can be released, right? You also have endorphins, dopamine that could be released, serotonin, all of these kinds of great things that get released that help relax the body, that help it feel comfortable, that help it ease into that natural vulnerability that happens with sex. And we want to set our body up to actually be able to release these neurochemicals that are going to do what we need them to do. The great thing is, the more and more you can physically be set up, then also the higher chances you can achieve something like an orgasm as well, which allows us to have an even larger amount of these neurochemicals released and allows us to have an even greater connection with our partner. And that's something that we actually want, because the more and more that we have that connection, the safer we feel with them, the more connected we feel, the more love that we feel from them. Like I said, sex is a physical act, and it's also an emotional, which we'll talk about here shortly, but it's the physical connection that happens that allows us to be in this very vulnerable state and very close with someone else, the physical part being close, right? Skin to skin, where there might not be any distance between us. It is something that is truly remarkable, especially if you consider that out of all the animals on the planet, there are not very many animals that actually have sex as not only as a recreation, but as a way of connecting in this way. Usually it's just for reproductive purposes, but humans are one of the very few that use sex in this way. So we want to be able to use it to help improve our mental health. In order to do that, we have to physically set ourselves up to be in a good spot for that. So remember, we want to be able to be in a spot where we can try to give ourselves enough time for us to physically be ready for sex, right? This could mean like hours. And I don't mean that you have to have sex for hours. I mean that if you guys are sending hints to each other that you want sex, that you're allowing your body to get into it, allowing that desire to build, allowing those fires to start to fan, so that whenever you actually do engage in sex, your body's already ready and it's already in that space that it needs to be in order to have an enjoyable sexual experience. So that doesn't necessarily mean that you guys look over at each other and you guys are like, hey, you want to do this real quick while the kids are sleeping? A lot of times speed is something like speed and rushing sex is one of the things that causes the biggest challenge, right? You want to give yourself enough time physically. The other thing you want to be able to be mindful of is, again, the tension in the body. And a lot of times when that tension is in the body, it's there for a reason, right? There's something that triggered it. If you can identify and you notice that, that's something that's great for a conversation with your partner at some point. But being able to notice that that tension is there and be able to communicate with your partner, and if you want to, being able to invite them to help you relax so that you can get into that physical space before you actually engage in sex is something that's going to be a game changer for helping you to have that positive sexual experience. Because again, if you don't give yourself that chance, then sex is just the physical action. It does release some of these neurochemicals that I'm talking about, but you don't actually get the full benefit. In fact, you can get something that's much worse. If you engage in sex and it's something your body's not ready for, and you may not even emotionally be there for, sex can actually be very scarring. And instead of the emotional bonding part that it's actually designed to be, it can instead be a point of tension, a point of resentment that could exist in your relationship. So that's why that physical part is so important. And a lot of times, you know, people feel, you know, they hear physical and they think that it's only about having sex, but there's so much more to it than that, as I just kind of talked a little bit about. So the other part is going to kind of be this in-between area between the physical and emotional, because really they run parallel to each other. But I want to talk about this for a moment. Is that there are all kinds of things that I will borrow a term that Emily Nagoski uses in her book, Come As You Are, which is a fantastic book that helps us understand a little more about the sexual experience of women. And she uses this term called breaks, these like emotional breaks. And these breaks that happen, they actually, I call them emotional breaks, but these breaks actually end up physically stopping the process for getting us amped up for sex. So there are breaks that men have and there are breaks that women have. And because sex is a lot more inherently risky for women, women have a lot more breaks that will actually, if you're thinking about this as a car, and if you're thinking of the car going forward on the road as increasing desire for sex and amping up for sex, then these brakes will stop the car so that you can't actually get there, or that it's much more difficult to get there. And there's all kinds of these physical brakes that can end up happening, whether or not it's the location or whether or not it's like feeling safe, or whether or not it's feeling like you can be vulnerable, you know, like taking your clothes off or anything like that. A lot of those brakes can be hit or stomped on in those moments, so that it's a lot harder to actually engage in sex. And there's all kinds of emotional things too that can be these breaks, right? If we get into a big fight, then we might not necessarily be in a place where I want to have sex because these emotional breaks are being hit, because I don't know if you're emotionally safe for me. So kind of moving a little bit over to that emotional side, that it's very, very common for couples, whenever they are in emotional turmoil, that the physical part of the relationship, that the sexual part of the relationship goes away. In fact, most of the time whenever I see couples, you can kind of get an idea of whenever issues started in their relationship, because it's usually whenever their sex life started to change. So emotionally, we connect with sex. As I kind of talked about some of the neurochemicals that got released earlier whenever I was explaining this, that the physical part, the emotional connection that we have with someone gets sometimes the strongest whenever we actually end up having sex. So if we feel like we're not on the same page, or we feel like we're not safe, or we're not doing okay in a relationship, or I'm really angry with my partner, then it's harder for us to get into the space where we can actually enjoy sex. Or if we are the number where, you know, there's two big emotional tolls that end up completely making sex difficult for a lot of us. And that is stress as probably one of the number ones, and lack of sleep is the other. And a lot of times those things go hand in hand. But if you're someone that experiences a lot of stress or anxiety, then a lot of times it's hard to get into the right emotional state for sex. And if you want to go back and listen to some of our episodes about anxiety and stress, it doesn't take a, you know, it's not super sophisticated why, you know, to explain why. Because whenever we go into our stress response, our body is using all the resources on helping us survive. Well, you want to know what's not pertinent to survival in those moments? Having sex. So because that's not pertinent to survival in those moments, well, it doesn't happen, right? We don't have, our brain does not go in that headspace. We don't necessarily think about it. And we don't necessarily have those desires. So we can get into a really difficult space if we have someone in our relationship that doesn't have a lot of stress, and there was someone in the relationship that does have a lot of stress, because then you're likely going to have very uneven sexual desires. Even if you just account for like people's natural, the natural affinity or the natural desires being different, which usually they are. It's very rare that I've ever seen a couple that they both have the same amount of sexual desires. It's usually one person has more of a desire for sex than the other person. And that's something that a couple ends up having to learn how they can balance over time. But a lot of the challenges that we get into as a couple is just on the strictly emotional level, is that there are some people that may try to use sex as a way of reconnecting after there is conflict. And our partner may be a person who actually doesn't desire sex when there's conflict, or they may push it away, or they may see it as you not being very sensitive or not really caring about the conflict or that emotional turmoil that exists between you two. So the emotional part is so deep-seated because for so many of us, sex is the physical representation of how strong the connection is between the two of us. So if the connection doesn't feel strong or there feels like there's distance, so often that's whenever sex starts to drop off. That's whenever it starts to feel disrupted, or that's whenever it's harder for us to get into the mood or the headspace for it. So the emotional part is actually a lot of times one of these parts that we have to stroke even before we actually get to the physical act of sex. So the question is, what are the implications for our mental health? Well, usually what this means is that if there is something off with your and your significant other's sex life, that means that there's probably something mentally off going on. And what I mean by that is I don't mean like one of you guys is suffering from a mental health disorder or something like that, which it could be the case. But what I mean is that there is some type of disconnect that is going on. And like I said, sex has a ton of implications to it. And usually some of the most substantial implications whenever sex, the emotional disconnection with sex is there, is does the person even care about me? Do they find me attractive? Do they actually desire to be with me? Do they even want to be with me anymore? Right? These are the type of thoughts that end up coming. And the fear that can come along with this is long if, you know, if that distance is there, some people, like I said before, will try to use sex to reconnect, right? They'll try to test the temperature of how things are going, and you might end up seeing or you might end up being this person that petitions your partner for sex and then ends up getting rejected. And rejection is probably one of the most painful things, especially sexual rejection, because of the level of intimacy and the connection that usually happens with sex. It is especially painful whenever that type of rejection occurs. And usually, because it is so painful, a person will immediately have to be protective. They'll have to defend themselves. And usually how most people defend themselves is they will either get angry at their partner or they will shut down and pull away. This is something that creates so many challenges and creates so many times in a relationship where someone will stop asking for sex, they'll just stop trying to connect this way, or they will get into a place where they don't want to tell their partner no and they don't want to keep rejecting them. So they will end up giving in and they will have sex even though they're actually not in the right emotional state to have a pleasant sexual experience, which further propels an awful sex life and an awful time connecting. So if we want to set up the best type of sexual experiences, we want to set up the best type of mental health benefits, we have to pay attention to both the physical part and the emotional part. And like I said, a lot of times the emotional part actually happens outside of the sexual experience. We want to be able to give our significant other time, right? We want to show them affection without it always having to be physical. We want to let them know that they're important to us, that we care about them, to help foster that emotional connection. And a lot of times as that emotional connection is more and more fostered, the physical connection comes along with it, usually without a hitch. So a lot of times when I work with couples, we spend a lot of time focusing on this emotional connection, the emotional part, because usually this emotional part will, it doesn't supersede, but it will plug right into that physical part. It's easier for us to feel safe and relaxed and vulnerable with someone we feel emotionally close to. But again, the mental health implications are if the sexual, our sex life is impacted or it's not so great, then we're more likely to have more stress. We're more likely to feel more disconnected. We're more likely to feel more distant because we may not feel as close in our relationship. So the thing is, a healthy sex life helps promote good mental health. So that's why it's important. And I'm not saying this because I'm saying that you should be having more sex, but chances are if you guys are in a good, safe, healthy relationship, then you will be having more sex. And if you're not having as much sex, that means that there are things that are in the way. There are things that are causing this disconnect or for sex to not feel as comfortable. Whether or not that is more time getting you into the physical space you need to be, or whether or not that's focusing more on this emotional component, this emotional closeness. See, there's so often where couples get this backwards, where they feel like that, all right, our sex life is bad, so let's just have sex more frequently. Well, you can go ahead and try that, but the challenge is if you're having sex more frequently and it's not the sex where you feel connected, then you're actually not really helping yourself out very much, or you're getting used to sex not being a bonding experience, which is actually robbing you and your partner of something truly magical. I mean, think about all the songs and poems and writings that are stories that are about love and that are about sex. There is a ton of them because it can be truly a phenomenal experience. And you have to work on this emotional connection that happens. And a lot of times what that means is that before you're vulnerable taking off your clothes, you have to be emotionally vulnerable to your partner. You have to help them to see and understand how much you care about them, how much you love them, how important they are to you. And that is something that will, and that someone, that you are someone that they can count on and they can come to, right? It's more than just, it's words, right? You want to be able to say the words, but it's actually showing, right? A lot of times, good sex actually happens before you even get to the bedroom. It happens in the deep, close relationship that you have. And that's usually that's work that you do, like I said, outside of the bedroom. That's work that I help couples with. That's work that other marriage and couples counselors help couples with. But it's also something that you can do on your own. It's also a connection that you can work with on your own. So you can work on helping to feel closer. So like I said, the mental health implications are paramount with this, because a lot of times sex is so closely related to how we feel about ourselves, how we look at ourselves, whether or not we see ourselves as someone that's attractive, whether or not we see ourselves as someone that's in a stable relationship. If we see ourselves as someone that's desired, it can affect our confidence, our feelings of self-worth. There are so many different things that this ties to that we need to be able to recognize these different pieces, both whenever the physical and the emotional component are lacking. And so much of this emotional component is actually just tied up in communication. Being able to talk to your significant other about challenges that are going on in your relationship and being able to do so in a way that doesn't put them under the fire, right? That's just you working on expressing the emotions that you have and the feelings that you have and the things that you're going through without making them feel like you're blaming them or feeling guilty or, like I said, putting them under the fire. And to that extent, that's something that we're actually going to talk about on the next episode, the next solo episode I'm going to do. So look for that here within the next month or so, where I am going to talk to you a little bit about how to have emotional conversations with your spouse without blaming them or making them feel bad. Also, on a last note, I want to specifically mention that I said that sex is a very complicated topic, and I meant it. this is only the start of hopefully a series of conversations that I am going to have, not only just individually here talking to you, but also inviting other guests on to be able to explore this topic more so that we can make sure that we can make this complex topic a lot more simple and easily, you know, easier to digest so that you can foster a healthy sexual and physical and emotional part of your relationship, since your relationship is such an important part of your life and your mental health. So until next time, thank you for joining us for this episode of Mental Health Insights. This is a product of Life Care Counseling. If you enjoyed this episode and want to hear more episodes like this, I would encourage you to give us a review or rate us on your favorite podcast app. We would appreciate that. And of course, if there's something specific you want to know around this topic, feel free to reach out. And we'd love to hear from you. Until next time, I wish you well. Thank you for listening to our show. This podcast is designed to provide accurate and reliable information, and those that appear on the show are all licensed professionals in the area of mental health counseling. We are in no way rendering legal or medical advice, only information to help serve you better in making decisions in your life. If you need a professional, you should find one. The music you are listening to is called Lobby Time, and that is by Kevin MacLeod and licensed through Creative Commons.